This is Doug Miller. Have you ever run into a false prophet? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back with you one more time. With the Word of God in hand, we are looking at the book of Hebrews. We began this new study last week. I think you will find it enormously profitable, and in fact, I don't see how Christian maturity is possible at all for anyone without an understanding of and a thorough baptism in, if I may use that word, the book of Hebrews. It is just that critical to your walk and to your life as a Christian. And I think as we get into this, you'll see why. So come along, bring your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 1, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there. And we, of course, absolutely are dependent on our listeners for support, for your prayers. I beg you, write down Dialogue. Just put it down on a piece of paper. And every day at some time or another, as you were there, you know, before the Lord, just pray for Dialogue. Tell others to listen in. And let us hear from you. Always a joy and a pleasure to hear from our listeners. Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, why, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you later on. All right, the book of Hebrews. I frequently say such and such is my favorite book, and you know, it's kind of like whatever book I'm in at the time seems to be my favorite, but this book here is really one of my favorites. There's no question about it. This book has absolutely, the book of Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, has absolutely changed my life over the years as I've spent time in it, and it will change yours too. If you've never spent much time in it, you need to come along with us on this one. Now, some of you, if you were listening last week, while I gave you five reasons why Paul did not write the book of Hebrews, reasons that are dispositive of the case, I believe, I don't see how you can get around them. This is a letter written by an unknown Jew to Jews. And many of you out there, if you're the least bit curious, might be saying to yourselves, okay, Miller, fine, Jim Dandy. I've got a letter here from a Jew to a bunch of Jews. I'm a Gentile. What profit is it to me? Oh, friend, in answer to that, let me just beg you to just keep your Bibles open and listen and just come along. It's of enormous importance to you. And in proof of that, just let me give you this to think about. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, makes it very clear that his earthly ministry was to Jews. He says he was not sent to any save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If you read Peter's opening sermons in the book of Acts, you will find that they are directed to the men of Israel, to the nation of Israel. If you read Stephen's sermon in the 7th chapter of Acts that got him stoned, it is directed solely to Israel. It's not until we get to Paul that we get letters directed solely and specifically to the Gentiles. But don't you be mistaken about this, that the ministry, the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and the early ministry in the church by Peter, who was an apostle to the Jews, don't you make any mistake about it. This ministry is enormously important and profitable to us. And so is the letter to the Hebrews. Now, let me just give you a few things to look for here. and a few things to understand. Hebrews is a letter that is very easily misunderstood. There's a lot of false teaching that has arisen and cropped up out of this letter to the Hebrews because it has been taught many times by people who didn't understand what was being talked about at all. They did not seem to grasp, and many of them do not seem to grasp, that this is a letter to Jews. To what Jews? Well, it was a letter to a group of Jews who were in danger of going back into temple worship, back into Judaism. And the writer to these people is warning them not to make that mistake, not to turn back, not to go back in that direction. And in order to show them this, he shows them Jesus Christ, and he says, he talks about the greatness of Jesus. Jesus is greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. In fact, Jesus is the Creator. He is God, almighty and everlasting. But there's something else that Jesus is, and we're going to see it when we get into this thing and get into it deeper. Jesus is our great high priest. In fact, Melchizedek, the great high priest, this is the central point around which the letter to the Hebrews revolves. This is the meat of the word. Now, many of you out there will have some understanding and you'll react to this. You've heard it also when I talk about the meat as opposed to the milk of the word. Many of you out there know that Paul or that Peter wrote, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Many of you will know that Paul wrote to the Corinthians and says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto mature, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. I fed you with milk and not with meat. You weren't able to bear it. You're not able to bear it even now. Many of you know that. Many of you know, perhaps, that the writer of the Hebrews here talks about milk and meat, and he talks about it in the, he gets into it in the fifth chapter. And he talks about how that, at really the end of the fifth chapter and lapping over into the sixth, he talks about milk and meat. Everyone who uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are fully are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, you know that. And let me ask you, are you feeding on milk or are you feeding on meat? Now, a lot of you out there, and I don't know how to say this without sounding arrogant, and I don't wish to sound arrogant, and I don't wish to, you know, put people down, but look, a lot of you out there are sitting under ministry intended for babes. It's milk, if it's anything, if it's even that. And you're getting no growth under that sort of thing. And you are going on, and as long as you're under that kind of ministry, you are going to be going on in defeat. Because that sort of ministry does not help you much. After you're a babe, and after it's time to grow up to other things, you need to be under the kind of ministry that gives you meat. And that is not what's coming down out there in so many places. Let me show you why I say that. Most of you are out there in under ministry that purports to tell you how to live the Christian life, my Christian walk, how to pray, how to have a victorious quiet time, and so on and so forth. That's not the meat of the word, friends. The meat of the word is made very clear by this man who wrote to the Hebrews. The meat of the word has to do with our great high priest, who is in the heavenly places, who is above all principality and power, who is seated at the right hand of God and is functioning as our high priest. This is talked about over and over again in Hebrews. This is the meat of the word. For example, You want to go back to 1 Corinthians where Paul talks to the Corinthians and he says, I couldn't feed you with meat. I just had to feed you with milk. Read the letter to the Corinthians and ask yourself, does Paul ever really talk to the Corinthians about the high priestly function of the Lord Jesus Christ? He does not. He does not. Why? He says himself, these people, they're not ready for it. They're not able to bear it. I mean, he's got to talk to them about, you know, really infantile things, getting along better with one another and loving one another and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with any of this. But, you know, if you're feeding on milk on and on and on after you've been saved 10, 15, 20 years, there's something wrong. You got a problem. This guy sitting before this mic is asking you to do something. I am asking you to consider Jesus Christ, our great high priest, seated at the right hand of God in glory, seated there as our advocate, as the one who has entered into the holy place with his own blood. And I want you to ask yourself this, if he has a ministry there for us, and if he is ministering for us there in that high and holy and lofty place, why? What's he doing? And what's the profit to us from that? Now, these Jews that are recipients of this letter, they were an interesting lot, weren't they? They wanted to go back into the temple, back where there was a human high priest functioning for them. This man says, and we'll see it later on. Now, let's read some of this letter. I read this last time. We're going to read it again. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, I asked at the first of this program, did you ever run into a false prophet? Well, let me tell you something. If you have run into someone who in this day and in this dispensation we are living in claims to be a prophet, receiving information directly from God, speaking to you by direct revelation from God, things that are not in this word that I have here, you got a false prophet on your hands. Joseph Smith, a liar and a false prophet. Muhammad, a liar and a false prophet. Not only that, but those two men, they were Gentiles. They're no Gentile prophets. God has spoken in his Son, and he has said for this dispensation all that he has to say. Now, sorry about that, friends. Did I step on some toes? I hope so. I hope I got all over some people with that one. I hope some of you out there who are listening to false prophets who claim to be prophets, who claim to have ongoing prophecy, say, that they are giving out, I hope you will get as far away from them as you can. Because what they are doing is lying to you and deceiving themselves, probably. They're not prophesying anything. If you say, well, isn't there a prophetic gift talked about in 1 Corinthians? Yes, there is a prophetic gift. And there are prophets talked about in Ephesians. But those prophets are not foretellers. They are forthtellers. That's what the meaning of the Greek word is. Yes, there is a prophetic gift. You have individuals who can stand up with this word in hand and who can give out this word under the power of the Holy Spirit with power in such a way that you know your heart is being drawn to the resurrected, glorified Christ, and you know that you are under Spirit-led ministry. There are guys who can do that. There are people who do that. That gift is functioning. I am talking here about people who claim to have new revelation, something that's not in this word, something that, you know, is by direct power from God, and they are going to tell you the future. Forget it, buddy. Stop it. No need to come to me with that stuff. I'll label you as a false prophet so quick your head will swim. I'm telling you, I'll not put up with it. And you shouldn't either, those of you who are listening to me. God spoke by or in, literally, is the Hebrew, in his Son. He has said in this word of his, we have the completed word of God. He has nothing more to say right now. Now, God will send prophets later on after the rapturing of the church, after we are gone out of here and during that great and terrible time of the tribulation. But for the time we are in now, there are not going to be any prophets raised up. If you won't hear God's word, don't imagine that you will be persuaded by the Holy Spirit by some prophet. You know, you can forget that. All right, now that I've offended a bunch of people deliberately, let's go on. He says, this Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The creative agent is the Son. It is the Son of the living God who created everything, who spoke it into existence, and the Father created through and by him. And this word worlds in the Greek is ages. Not the worlds, but the ages. The whole series of ages, the dispensations that roll on and on and on, created by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these Jews needed to hear this, because one of the great offenses to the Jews is the idea that this man is God. Well, he is God. And look at what we have in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, now let's talk about that one a little bit. There is so much depth in Hebrews that you just can't go through it quickly. You just can't rush through it. You look at this verse. The brightness of his glory, or literally the glory, the express image. The express image is the exact expression. It's the word we get our word character from. Charakteia is actually the word in Greek. Of the person of him, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now look at this one. This is the spoken word of his power, rhemati. This is not the Logos. We know in the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. All things were created by him. But this is the word rhemati. This is the spoken word. He is upholding. He not only created all things by speaking them into existence, but by his spoken word, he is upholding all things. It all holds together, and it consists in him. Go back and read Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, for example, and you will see more of this. And it is very, very clear. You think of this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, who took the low place, is the one who at this very moment is upholding the entire universe. It all is upheld by him. He, seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, is the one that keeps it all from just flying apart and off into oblivion. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that remarkable? Scientists are out there right now. They can't figure out what holds it all together. They can't. The Word of God tells us. And it tells us something else. He purged our sins by himself. He didn't need a priest to do it. He didn't need an Aaronic priest to do it. He didn't need a Levitical priest to do it. And friends, he doesn't need the right Reverend so-and-so today to do it. He doesn't need anyone speaking words in Latin, Greek, Hebrew, or any other language to help purge your sins. He has done it by himself. And he did it and did it completely. And you know from the cross he cried, it is finished, tetelestai. You want to know the proof that it's finished? Here it is. He sat down. Now you go back and look at the tabernacle and look at the temple. And all these Jews knew this. There was no place to sit. There were no seats or benches in this place. They were not to be seated or sitting down. It was work. They had a lot of work to do in there. And, you know, you go back in 1 Samuel and you read about the high priest Eli, and he was a very overweight, a very large man, and we see him sitting down outside the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting. He was sitting down, and this is a good indicator of some of the problems Israel was having at the time. They had a high priest who was seated when he should have been up working and controlling his sons, and he let everything get out of hand. But the Lord Jesus has sat down. Now, the last time we see the Lord Jesus standing is in Stephen's sermon of Acts 7. He, filled with the Spirit, looked up and he said, "I see the glory of God and Jesus Christ standing." Why was he standing? I'm persuaded that it is because he was ready and willing to come back right then. Right then. If Israel as a nation had repented and turned to him, they did not. Instead, they cast Stephen out and stoned him, and we get the beginning at that point of a whole new dispensation, because standing there at the feet, or holding the coats, as it were, of the men who stoned Stephen was the Apostle Paul, the man who was going to make all the difference. He was going out to the Gentiles with this gospel. And we are now in that dispensation, the dispensation of grace, with the message going out to the Gentiles. And the Lord Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. The work is completed. Nothing needs to be done. And when he stands up the next time, look out, world. He is coming back for his church. And he himself, not someone else, but he himself will come and receive us unto himself. And at that, this dispensation will end, and we will enter a time, friend, that you don't want to be around here for. It's called the Great Tribulation. And it's the time that's worse than anything that's ever been. But more of that later. Now, these Jews, we're about out of time here, but we'll go on and we'll read some of this. The writer of Hebrews starts talking now about the angels. Our Lord Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. He has, by inheritance, obtained a more excellent name than they. By inheritance. Everything God has said about his Son makes it clear that he is greater than any angels. Now, some of you out there into angel worship and so forth, you better stop it. Some of you, I mean, you'd be absolutely upset to hear me say that you shouldn't be doing this. Well, be upset, because you shouldn't be doing it. Angels are ministering to you. You don't need to be ministering to angels. You need to be fixed on, taken up with, occupied with the man in glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's got an excellent name above any name, angel. He is greater than any of them, and your attention is to be fixed and set on him. And if you want proof of that, our writer goes back and quotes from the second psalm, "Unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee." Well, we're going to have to stop there. We're out of time. See you next time. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.